Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Here on the Hump Day edition of the Yard, hope things are well with you. It's a beautiful day here in Starkville, Mississippi. I don't know if there's a cloud in the sky. It's a beautiful, bright, somewhat cool day. Maybe we're actually getting into fall. We had false fall for a while, and then of course we sweated to death over the weekend. But here we are. Here we are. We're going to take a look at Northern Illinois today. We got a cool top 10 list today for you, too, of a new artist that's collaborating with a classic rock artist. News announced today. Maybe you're unaware. That's what we're here for, to educate, entertain, and inform. We got some other things we'll talk about, too. But, hope that you guys are doing great. It's been a tough week. It has been. It's been a difficult week, but it is a new week. And we got some good things in front of us. Mississippi State has a chance to go 4-0 in football for the first time. For the first time since 2014. You know what happened that year. Not expecting that. Didn't expect that then. But nevertheless, here we are. Living life one week at a time. And it kind of hit me today, too. It's like we look so forward to this all year. And it's nearly half over. Like after this weekend, we'll be 40% of the way through the regular season. So I guess it's not technically true. We're playing 12 games. So, yeah, 33, you know what I'm saying. We're just getting into the season, but it feels like, you know, it'll be over before we know it. It's September 17th. Thanksgiving will be here. It's 99 days till Christmas, Mom. Yeah, so there's a lot going on. I would be remiss, too. We hadn't talked about soccer in a little bit, too. Last game, we knocked off number one Tennessee. How about that? Beat number one Arkansas last year. We've never beaten number one team in our history, and we've won back-to-back games. The ladies will be playing Texas, and then on Sunday, we'll be back at the Mississippi State Soccer Complex to take on Auburn and James Armstrong. We look forward to that. James is our friend, even though we're a little bit bitter, you know. Volleyball, 10-0, as they close out the non-conference slate. So a lot to feel good about. I wrote about that yesterday. There's a lot to feel good about right now if you're a Mississippi State fan. And I know many people still kind of walking on eggshells about this football thing. And you're like, hey, you know, yeah, we're already won more games than we did last year, and we're in a good position to double that this weekend. And but, you know, that's a meager goal for us. You know, we want to get back into the postseason. And so a lot of people are still kind of like living with bated breath. It's like, you know, Steve, yeah, I want to believe. But when we get an SEC play, I'm really worried about that. Listen, I get it. I understand that, but going through life being indecisive is no way to go, and I share that with you because, you know, life is short, man. You know, like over the weekend, I lost a classmate. I think I shared with you guys on Monday, lost a classmate, and she was kind of a wallflower in high school. Sweet girl. Everybody loved her. Everybody loved Alisa. Everybody. And she kind of found her groove as an adult, you know, and grew up to be a beautiful woman, had a beautiful family, and lived out of state, worked as a hairdresser, and it's really sad, like, to see all the people, like, commenting, you know, about that she was more than just a hairdresser, and I'm sure that's really the case if you have a regular hairdresser, you know. She was kind of a counselor and a friend and a confidant, and so, yeah, we lose her. And then I found out yesterday that another girl that graduated a year before me passed away. And so all of that stuff is unsettling, makes you consider your own mortality. But also it's a reminder, too, that you got to live every day. Can't just sit around waiting to die. You know, my time is going to come at some point, too. And the Boneyard's not going to air, not going to have a Jeans Page article up that day. And, you know, you never know, you know. And so, you know, we're all living on God's grace. I mean, that's the truth of the matter. We truly are, you know, and there are some people out there that are evil that, you know, come to seek and destroy. So I hope that you are living life today, enjoying life today. It's one of the things, too, like being a parent. That's one of the things that you worry about, right? When you're a kid, you know, mom and dad kind of takes care of everything. And I remember having this conversation with my dad. When I became a father, I said, you know, you made all this stuff look so easy. And he goes, well, it's my job. That's my job as a dad. to kind of make it look easy. So you don't need to deal with adult issues in childhood. You don't need to worry that, we've got to scrimp a little bit until next payday. You don't need that. That shouldn't be your thought. That's my role as the parent. And so I've always kind of lived my life that way too, you know, to kind of shield my children from that. And, but interestingly enough, you know, when my kids got ready to leave home, like when Ani left to go to college to play college baseball, I think I'm the only one that didn't cry. At least not in front of anybody, you know. I mean, I missed having my boy around the house. You know, I missed being able to go to every practice and baseball game. I missed those things. But life was changing. But as everybody else cried as we left them, I was so jacked. And that was one of the things that I told all the kids. I said, as sad as I am for all of you, I'm so incredibly excited for your brother that he gets to live his dream of playing college baseball. And ultimately he did. And that led him to meet his wife in college. And we love her to death. We couldn't do any better. We couldn't have special ordered a bride for our son better than we have. And then, you know, when Audrey got ready to leave for state, I was a nervous wreck, man. I was. Like, I wasn't worried about Ani, but I was worried about Audrey. Not because of Audrey, but because of the fact that she's a college girl going into a college environment, even though she's 15 minutes from home. Because I know college guys, right? And you don't want your daughter to ever be in a scenario where that she's not treated well, you know? And we had to go out to Strange Brew a couple times and had some discussions about dating and that sort of stuff. And that's part of being being dad. Of course, you know, Mia went to state and Ian's at state now. And then, but I had a conversation with Mia. I don't think I've shared it with you guys, you know, and I love her. She's so much like me. It drives me crazy sometimes. But anyway, so when she gets to Harvard, and I told her, I said, listen, tomorrow morning when you get up, don't go to Starbucks. Don't go to Starbucks. Don't do that. Don't go to Starbucks. Don't go to Macaroni Grill. Don't go to any national chain. Don't do that. I said, go to a place that is uniquely Harvard. Go and eat local. And I'm a firm believer in that anyway. I believe in promoting small business. Not that I don't have great meals when I go other places, but I like to eat locally when I go and travel. And I told her, I said, the reason this is so important is you're going to remember that coffee and that lunch the rest of your life. Don't go waste it at Applebee's. All due respect to Applebee's, right? I mean, they've been there when we've needed them, with those baby back ribs. But there are some moments in life you have to make special for yourself. And so I share that with you because I think it's important that we have an open dialogue about that sort of stuff. You know, raising kids has been the greatest joy of my life, honest to goodness. And I've done some amazing things in my life. And I remember years ago, you know, they have you on all these shows, and, you know, and it seems like everybody's got a podcast now, but MPB had me on the radio. And this lady asked me, you know, what do you think your legacy is? And without a moment's hesitation, I said, it's my children. The greatest gift that I've given to the world is my children. And I listen, I'm proud of the things that I've accomplished, but they will surpass anything that I've done. It may not be as public, but they're going to do great. And that's one of the things that I begin to think about when I consider my own mortality. You know, there are a lot of people that say, I'm just so worried about the world my children are inheriting. And I agree with that. There's a lot of difficulties in the world. But the flip side of that is I know that my children are equipped to handle whatever comes their way. And I think that they are people that could be game changers and community changers and life changers. And so that gives me a little peace that when my time comes, and I hope that's, you know, 25, 30 years from now, I want to see my grandson play college baseball. I mean, I really do. And it makes me want to take better care of myself because I think about that aspect of life, that I want to be there, right? And I've shared with you guys before, you know, life is long, if you allow it to be, but there are people that you are going to love with all your heart that haven't even been born yet. I mean, that's a very, very deep thing to consider, right? And I don't want my legacy or my memories to have to be communicated to my grandchildren who never had a chance to know me. And so that's one of, you know, lifelong, obviously, and your family continues to grow and you don't get to meet everybody. You wish you could. But I encourage you, live life and take care of yourself, because there's a lot of good times ahead of us, truly. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company. I had Bulldog Burger Company for dinner on Monday night. I got the Bulldog, though. I've been kind of thinking from mentality, but at the moment of truth, I thought, you know what? I want to get the Bulldog. And man, I devoured that thing. I absolutely love eating at Bulldog Burger Company. I got the fries. I didn't get the onion rings. I got the fries. And we got it to go. And they kind of neatly had the little ketchup for me in the little container, right? I didn't just have the little packets. And so you're able to dip your fries in that. And there's just something about that that works better for me. I think that's one of the great joys of eating at Bulldog Burger Company is they think of all the little details, right? They think of all the little things that make dining there great. And so, yeah, we had a great time. And the bride got the BLT salad grilled. You know, she's from South Mississippi, too. I don't think she got the ranch, though. I think she got, like, a vinaigrette or something. She's a little more bougie than me. But all that I understood, Bulldog Burger Company can cure what ails you. When you get ready for a great dining experience, look no further than Bulldog Burger Company. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive here in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Rich and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. We didn't get an appetizer this go-around. Had we done so, we would have gotten the spring rolls. But there are sometimes I kind of cut back on my intake just because I don't want the wife to think that I'm, you know, maybe trying to take an online girlfriend or something. But all that I understood, they will make you better looking. It's on the menu. It's trust the science, as they tell us. And get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that ride home with a smile. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right. Let's talk about Northern Illinois football. I've enjoyed, that's one of the things about my job that I enjoy. Like, so, just to kind of give you a little bit of backstory here. So, my Sunday, especially when we don't have to travel on Saturday, my Sunday, I spend a lot of time researching our next opponent. And I give our guys a chance to get all of our post-game coverage out. Then we come out with the first look article. And that's when I've basically gone and watched like the last couple of games. When we got ready to play Arizona State, I watched their game against Northern Arizona. We played Southern Miss. I watched a couple of Marshall games. And this past weekend, I watched Northern Illinois play Holy Cross and Maryland. Part of that is so when I go into the press conference on Monday, I want to be kind of well-versed in what's happening with our opponents. I want to be able to ask questions that elicit the answers, because here's what happens. If we just go in there and ask for an overview, and this is not a criticism of Jeff Levy, but sometimes it gets all coach speaky, right? And that happens everywhere. Everybody is playing somebody who has improved on defense, improved on offense. They have great team speed. They're more athletic than they were last year. You know, we got a real fight in our hands. Stop me if you've heard all this before, right? Everybody says a lot of the same things, really kind of out of respect for the opponent. So I like to be able to have some questions that kind of elicit a response that requires a more specific answer, if that makes sense. And the thing that jumped out was their rush defense. We're going to get that a little bit, too. But I've enjoyed, too, you know, doing the transcribing, the coaching. Done that for years. But transcribe the opponent head coach press conference about what they said about Mississippi State to make that information more readily available for you, rather than you have to go watch a 35-minute press conference and then get to the end of it and they say, like, one thing about us. Let me just make it easy on you. I'll go do that. I'll suffer through that for the greater good. And then also to the player interviews. I just try to make that stuff easy for you guys to find, because you don't really care what their head coach has to say about the deep snapper or about special teams, right? You want to know what they're saying about us, what they're saying about the Cowbells, what they're saying about the team. And so, of course, everybody's going to say Jeff Lebby and those guys done a great job. That's what they're all going to say. But I thought Coach Hammack was really good this week. Seems like a real class act. And so I think what's interesting, too, many of us didn't know a lot about, unless you watch Maction. Remember that Maction Tuesday nights were great. But Northern Illinois has been a really good program, you know, under Coach Hammack. And they won the MAC back in 2021. And so they got six MAC championships since 83. I believe that's correct. But last year was a good year for them. And I think, again, they lost a lot of starters. And as Coach Hammack has said earlier this year, that he believes that they had the least amount of production returning from one year to the next. But last year, a good year in DeKalb is they go 8-5. We'll run it back for you just a little bit here. They open up beating Western Illinois 54-15. That's a pretty loud win, regardless of your opening opponent. But to go out there and be that proficient offensively and to hold somebody just a couple scores defensively, it's a good start. The next week, they go to South Bend, Indiana, and they beat Notre Dame 16-14. Notre Dame played for the national championship last year, so they were clearly prepared. And that's the thing we always talk about, is the difference between the talent level between the G5 and the Power 4 or 5, whatever we're calling it right now. It'll change next year. But Coach Hammack and Northern Illinois took a team to South Bend that probably did not have a better player on the roster that was at the equivalence or better than the guy that he faced off against. That is coaching. When you don't have the talent and you're still able to win against a more talented team, that is coaching. And it is belief. It is culture. It's mentality. And, of course, Hammack, Coach Thomas Hammack played at Northern Illinois, so it's a little more special to him. He was a running back there and ultimately he's been there a few times, spent some time in the National Football League as a coach with the Ravens. But that's a huge win. That's a loud win. And a lot of people thought, well, that just means Notre Dame's not going to make the playoff. Well, ultimately they did. But arguably the greatest win in the history of Northern Illinois football. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, kind of gives you a pretty good idea about the quality of the staff that we're facing this weekend. The next week, though, I guess 2 weeks, they had an open date. So you had 2 weeks to kind of come out of the clouds, and they lose to Buffalo at home to open the MAC schedule 23-20. They go to North Carolina State, lose that game 24-17. Again, very competitive. They blast UMass 34-20. They get Bowling Green 17-7. They lose to Toledo, the Rockets 13-6 at home. And again, that's kind of an ugly game. That's kind of what they do, right? They kind of make you play their game. They want to muddle things up. They lose at Ball State 25-23. And again, very competitive game. They get Western Michigan 42-28. They get Akron 29-16. They lose at Miami of Ohio 20-9. And then Central Michigan, they get them 24-16. And then they win the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, that's a mouthful, against Fresno State 28-20. And here's an interesting little tidbit that I picked up this week too. Northern Illinois defensively has held their opponents to 20 points or less 6 consecutive games. Yeah, again, not true. You ever Googled yourself? You may be alarmed to know exactly how much of your private information and data is out there for anybody to access. Whether it be your phone number, your home address, or details about your family. It could be your kids' names, their ages. Whether you agree to this disclosure or not. And that's because data brokers are collecting and selling your information to marketers, scammers, and basically anyone willing to pay. It's the reason robocallers know your name, and while ads seem to follow you on every digital platform out there. Well, Aura fights back for you. They remove your personal data from broker sites and keep it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a data breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just data broker removal. It's a full digital security suite that protects every part of your life online. Aura gives you a VPN to stay private, antivirus to block threats, a password manager to keep all your logins safe, and they even give you spam call protection to cut off those stupid scammers. Aura also scans the dark web regularly for your most sensitive information, like your social security number, bank logins, passwords, and they will notify you instantly if you are somehow exposed. If your identity is ever stolen, you're backed up by up to $5 million in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support to help you recover everything quickly. Other services charge about the same, but they only cover one or two areas. With Aura, you get it all. Data broker removal, credit and identity monitoring, device protection, and fraud support, all with one simple app. Aura removes what is already exposed, protects what isn't, and puts you back in control. Right now, you can try Aura free for 14 days when you visit aura.com/remove. That gives them plenty of time to go ahead and start protecting your data. They can remove your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today at aura.com/remove and get the peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are all safeguarded. That's Aura, AURA.com/remove. Certain terms and conditions apply. Be sure and check it out today at aura.com. Trying to scare you, but trying to show you that you ought to have a little respect for these guys. Now, granted, it's a different team than it was last year. I think they're replacing 18 starters. But all that understood, this is a team that has great culture. And they have a coaching staff that wants to be there. Coach Hammett kind of went viral earlier this year, kind of being critical of the portal, but also, too, talking about, you know, hey, well, you know, we need to get some credit for what we've identified and developed. And I think there's probably some truth in that. So the last four games of last season, they hold their opponents 20 points or less. That is carried over to the first two games. This year, they beat Holy Cross 19-17, and then they lose to Maryland 20-9. So anybody expecting this to in any way resemble what happened Saturday against Alcorn State, I suspect you're going to be disappointed. Now, I think Southern Miss would probably beat Northern Illinois because they're very pedestrian on offense. Southern Miss has some playmakers on offense. I'd like to see that game, to be honest with you. But Northern Illinois would beat Alcorn, right? And so I think this is probably, as far as non-conference opponents go, it falls somewhere in between Southern Miss and Alcorn, but a little more likely to favor Southern Miss. They just don't have the firepower on offense. And as I mentioned on Monday's show, they've scored three touchdowns this year. That's it, three touchdowns. One of those came in a fourth quarter kickoff return to retake the lead against Holy Cross. They're having some problems offensively. And so we'll break some things down here. You know, they're averaging 14 points a game. That's not going to win you many games in the FBS. 14 points a game. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. We're going to score more than 14 points. You know, of course, the way things have worked out, you get to 20, you got a good chance of beating these guys. But opponents this year are averaging 18.5 points a game. First downs, they're giving up more forced downs than they're earning. Most of those are coming by way of the forward pass. Now, they've only given up 9 rushing first downs. They've been very, very good against the run. But the secondary is a little slow-footed. Like, Holy Cross had guys get open. Maryland had guys get open. Maryland had guys get open and couldn't get them to football. I think Blake Shapen is the best quarterback they will have faced this year by far. And so there are some plays there to be made in the passing game. Another interesting anomaly, Northern Illinois has not been granted a first down by way of penalty their first two games. And granted, they were off last week. They've run for 358 yards on the year, averaging 179 yards a game. They've allowed just 148. What's interesting about that, too, is the gross gain, 185. So they're getting some TFLs in there. They're giving up right at 74 yards a game on the ground. And we are a team that wants to run the football. Now, granted, we are going to be a team that is probably the most talented they face on an offensive line and running back room standpoint. And Maryland really isn't. As kind of discussed on Monday, Maryland is a team that, you know, runs about 110, 115 yards a game. So it's not really a commitment for them, even though they have a mobile-type quarterback and they run some RPO and zone read type stuff. So the thing that I think that's important is when that is your calling card, when we are the team that kind of does some interesting things up front to kind of change your reads and your targets a little bit for your offensive line, and then somebody still kind of runs it down your throat, it's difficult. But it's been easier said than done. Probably going to have to, you know, kind of work some intermediate passing game to get those backers out of the box. because it is apparent that Northern Illinois, one of the first tenets of their defensive philosophy, is stop the run, and they've been very successful doing so. Nobody's run for a touchdown against them, just so you know, not this year. Zero rushing touchdowns against them this year. So when we do the first one, be the first one they've allowed. They've allowed 409 passing yards. Now, Holy Cross, not necessarily a prolific air raid quality team. The flip side is Northern Illinois is averaging 100 yards a game passing. Now, some of that is because they want to run the football. The rest of it is the quarterback has been rather pedestrian. He's just kind of a game manager. And I mean that in the nicest sense possible, but he is not a guy that you're going to have to look at and say, you know, this guy can change the game for us. You know, this is a guy, he's not in any way going to be like the quarterbacks that we face so far that can improvise when things break down. He's not Sam Levitt. They're not going to be running a bunch of, you know, sprint rollouts for him trying to make things happen. They've completed 28 of 46 passes and thrown one pick. And then it's very kind of dink and dunk. There's a lot of zone read concepts with this. There's some RPO elements to their offense. But the passing game has not been good. Some of that also, too, is the quality of the receivers. But offensively, it's almost identical to what they've done. Total offense, 558 yards. Their opponents, 557. They have run a ton of plays, though. 142. Their opponents have run just 119. Now, that may not seem significant, but let me explain kind of what they're doing here. It's a ball control offense because they know they can't win a shootout. Right? Now, we scored 63 points last week and had about 16 minutes of time of possession. So we got to take advantage of the times that we're out there. But they're a team that wants to get stops. They want to put you in third and medium and third and long and then make a good play and then get the ball back and just kind of eat up some of the clock. That's really what they want to do and play good defense. Run the football, kind of 3 yards and cloud of dust. Of course, they love the chunk play, but they're very, very comfortable with what they do, just trying to keep the score down, running clock, snapping with 2 or 3 seconds to go on the play clock. There's not a lot of tempo with these guys. Matter of fact, it's just slow constantly. They want to shorten the game on you. Simple as that. Kick return's been a bit of an issue. They've allowed some plays to be made in both the punt and the kickoff game. Not a significant return in the punting game. They don't have a huge punter, but that's just something to watch. And you know as well as I do, after the week that Anthony Evans had last week, I'll be surprised if they kick it to him. But giving up about 31 yards of return on kickoff returns. And again, I don't think a lot of that is a byproduct of the talent that they've played against. I think it's just a matter of they just don't have the talent themselves. Interestingly enough, 13 penalties. We've had more than that. A couple games, we've had double-digit penalties. But averaging 38.2 yards a punt are they. Kickoffs, this may blow your mind because I don't know if I've seen an FBS team this poor when it comes to kickoffs. They've had 8 kickoffs this year, and they're averaging 51.6 yards a kick. Guys, it's 65 yards to the end zone. So this ball is coming down basically just inside the 20. So, yeah, there are going to be some plays that can be made. It's difficult to kind of cover that. So, you know, it is what it is. Time possession, 33 minutes for them. Third down conversions, 32%. So that's your team numbers. They're a team, too, that is not necessarily prolific when it comes to rushing the passer. Through 2 games, they've got just 2 sacks. Now, Alcorn State wasn't a great pass rushing team either, and they were able to get some pressure on us with some of the delayed blitzing, and that's something we got to clean up. And Blake got hit a couple times when he shouldn't last week. So I'm sure there'll be some fires and some pressures that are opponent-specific this week. They've only allowed 4 sacks. So we'll see how that kind of the whole thing kind of plays out. But I don't think this is a team that should stress us too much. They have not been good in the first quarter, just 3 points in the 2 games. Fourth quarter has been their quarter, and even in that quarter they got outscored. And again, this is an offense that is really struggling. Again, they've scored 28 points, allowed 37, and then sit here 1-1. The rushing game is very interesting. I like both of these guys. Siobhan Wright leads them with 167 yards. There are times that they'll do some wildcat stuff with him just to kind of keep things honest, especially in short yardage. Telly Johnson has got 153 yards. 74 of that came on one play against Maryland, but 31 carries for him. So it's basically a two-back system, and then they employ Josh Holst, the quarterback, in those zone read concepts. He's rushed it just 18 times, but that's still very significant. It works out to almost 10 rushes per game. So you've got to account for him, but he's not a guy that can really burn you. Of course, some of those rushes, of course, you know, account to to the pressure and getting flushed, you know. So they're not necessarily called running plays. Quentin Urwiler is a guy, too, that they have used at times as a change of pace guy. Just something to kind of watch. Jackson Proctor also has played some quarterback. Just kind of insignificant in many respects. Just kind of, you know, looks like one series here. 2 for 6 for 8 yards. Yeah, that's not going to get it done. D'Ara Rogers, the leading receiver with 10 catches for just 89 yards, and 25 of those came in one play. Jalen Poe, 5 catches, 24. And from there, it's just, you know, it just kind of all falls off. But the next two receivers are running backs. And so not at this point a breakout receiver. And D'Ara Rogers clearly appears to be a target for them. They want to get him involved. But you got to get open. You got a quarterback that's somewhat limited in arm strength. That's always an issue. Andrew Glass, the kicker, is 3 of 4. And he's 1 of 2 on PATs. You know, so that small sample size. But you certainly don't want to lose PATs. You don't always want to put that on a kicker either. Could be a bad snap, bad hold. But nevertheless, there has been something wrong with the operation when you've only had to kick the football 6 times, and 2 of those times have not been correct. Execution has not been good. So that's something to kind of consider as we kind of move forward here too. I don't think a field goal is going to matter, but I think you kind of get what I'm saying. This is a team, and I hate to say it this way, this is a team that is, I won't say devoid of talent, I think they're just kind of rebuilding, and I want to be respectful. Quentin Urwiler, we talked about him, but leading tackler, 20, 6 assists, 20 tackles on the year. He has a half sack. Flip Mazeroski, like the name, sounds like a baseball player. Philip Mazeroski also has a half sack, got 11 tackles. Muhammad Jama has 11 tackles too. Jasper Beadler met with the media yesterday. He is a starting safety. He's got 7 tackles and also a pass breakup. They have been able to get their hands on the football. They got 1 pick, but they've broken up about 7 passes here this year, forced a fumble. Jelani Williams, you may remember him. Guy went in the portal, wanted to follow those guys to Mississippi State. State elects not to take him, so he withdraws from the portal. Stays at Northern Illinois. He's been a little bit banged up, but 5 tackles on the year. And so, you know, again, I'm not going to sit here and oversell this opponent, but don't be surprised if you look up at the half and, you know, State's up 7-10 points, something like that. You know, again, they're going to try to shorten the game on us and make us be incredibly efficient in what we do. I just don't think they have the athletes to run with us. I mean, in watching that secondary, I expect to see Brennan Thompson and Anthony Evans open a lot. You know, and again, I don't think they're on the level of Alcorn State. I think they're much better than that, but they're not as good as Southern Miss, based on my observations. Now, we may come here on Monday and be like, oh, my gosh, I'm just happy to get out of this thing. And I'm happy to go 4-0. But I think that your team is very focused. And that's been really, even in that 63-0 win, I mean, going back and watching it, there are clearly some teachable moments, including the offensive line. And that's one of the things I kind of pressed the guys on this week, too, is like all of this changing of the guard, really more of the changing of the tackle, you know, how much has it impacted us? Yeah, of course, nobody's ever going to really truly say, but Albert Reese expected to be back this week at right tackle. Jimothy Lewis at left. And so we have had three games, and we have played three different combinations on the offensive line. So we need this group to kind of settle and develop some cohesion. We know that Blake Steen is out for the year. So Reese is going to have to kind of man it down over there. But Jimothy is probably our most athletic lineman. And so I think running with those two at tackle, I think we can feel pretty good about that. We just got to keep everybody healthy and get everybody some game reps together. You know, my hope is you get in the second half of this game, we can begin to rest some guys. That's the hope anyway. You never know how life's going to work out. You never know how football's going to work out. I mean, sports are crazy. I mean, who would have had Northern Illinois going in there beating Notre Dame last year? I don't think anybody expected that to happen. And I think in hindsight, you probably expected Notre Dame to just absolutely destroy them. I did. And all of a sudden you look up and you're like, man, is this – nah, surely they'll figure it out, right? Surely Notre Dame will get it going. They never did. That's the thing that's just crazy to me is like just when you think, you know, everything about sports, not everything makes sense. You know, that's one of those things that I think we can all agree upon, no matter how much experience we have or how many times we've been to ball games. You don't really know what's going to happen week to week. And that's one of the reasons that we love college athletics. We love it. And we love when we are when chaos doesn't affect us unless we're the ones kind of enacting the chaos, you know. So, important to understand. Our time for our close with Blair, player of the day. I think there's a lot of options that we could go with here. But I think it's Fluff Bothwell this week. I think Fluff has to have a good game in order for us to have the kind of victory we want to have this week. Let's give Blair Chandler his information for you guys. Again, save this number in your phone under Mortgage Guy. You never know when you may need him. Instead of having to go do an online search and being confused, you've got a personal recommendation from a bulldog of another bulldog. 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. Again, save it in your phone under Mortgage Guy. Blair Chandler is the name, but you may forget that. But want to make life easy on you when we can, and so does Blair. 24 years of experience in the mortgage lending industry. Nobody stays in an industry like that 20-plus years by accident. He can get you to the closing table when so many others can't. So if the dream of home ownership has eluded you in the past, maybe perhaps it's not always you, right? Maybe you had the wrong loan originator. If you're not ready to buy a home, he can help get you ready to buy a home. So whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, that game day condo, which may prove to be more affordable than you think, or perhaps refinance, dip in interest rates today. It's going to be two more according to latest reports. Blair keeps up with all that stuff, and he can let you know when's a good time to buy, when's a good time to sell. Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com. Again, Fluff Bothwell, you know, you could tell last week we tried to feed him a little bit, kind of get him going. We still got to work some things out in the running game. So it'll be interesting to see how we attack these folks this week at Northern Illinois, a team that kind of prides itself on stopping the run. And again, when you've got an offensive line that's had some moving parts here as of late, it's a good test. It truly is. And again, I say, if we route these guys, and I expect to cover, but if we really get after them, I think that is a huge, huge plus for Mississippi State. Just because of the fact, I think this is a team that kind of knows what they're doing, and you would expect that with Thomas Hammack being in his seventh year at Northern Illinois. They know the players they need to compete at that level, and they recruit and develop at a very high level. So we need Fluff to have a good game. He easily would have had 100 yards last week if we continued to play him, but we elected not to. But I think he is a guy that can attack that front. We got to do a good job up front with our offensive line. But Fluff Bothwell, your player of the day. All right, time for today's top 10 list, brought to you by ColitoGuitars.com. I didn't get a chance to play yesterday. I will play today. I needed to go float yesterday, and I would always tell myself after I float is I need to float more often. I do. just because it puts me in a good mood, allows me to rest better, just kind of allows my mind to take a bit of a break. It was phenomenal. I mean, in the words of Ben Howland, it was phenomenal. I had a great time. I floated so many times now, I can't even begin to tell you which is my favorite float. But I had a great float yesterday. And the bride's been after me for a little bit, too. You know, like last Thursday, went to a junior college game, had to carry that camera around and walk all the way around that field, did it again on Friday, and of course we had the game on Saturday. And so I kept thinking I wanted to go float on Sunday. Didn't feel well Sunday, and then the day kind of got away from me on Monday. But I got in there yesterday and was happy to float. And as a creative, I would encourage everybody to float just because it keeps your mind fresh, right? So yeah, 662-268-7601 for all your floating needs. If you haven't floated, learn more about it at True Rest Float Spa Stark on all socials. But yeah, I didn't get to play yesterday, but I will play today. It's one of those things that I feel like I owe to myself to do something creative. And I just enjoy playing. I do. And this new guitar that I've gotten from Kalita Guitars, a Steve Vai signature guitar by Ibanez, is great. It's the cleanest playing guitar I've ever had, which inspires you even more, right? When you get new equipment, you feel an obligation to play more, but then when the guitar itself plays better, you sound better, and you think, you know what, hey, I need to just play this more. Everything gets better with practice, everything. And at some point, we all kind of reach our potential, but I don't think I'm there. Got a lot of room to improve, for sure. But yeah, I'm going to play today. You need to play too. Even if you never play in front of anybody, maybe you're part of the praise team, need to upgrade the gear. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're just playing for yourself or your friends or whatever. You know, there's a guitar for you, whether you are an amateur or a professional, just waiting for you to push buy. Visit KalitaGuitars.com. You'll be glad you did. Of course, as we mentioned, you can get electrical, classical, electric guitars for every skill level. And maybe it's time to level up a little bit. Maybe it's time you think, hey, you know what, I've kind of hit a wall. Well, maybe it's because of the fact that you need to kind of rejuvenate your interest by getting a new instrument. And I got a great gig bag from them too. I've got a great stand from them. Very proud of that stuff too. Very proud of the equipment I've been able to get from Kalita Guitars. You will be too. Now, we got a promo code for you, too, whether you're buying in person at their wonderful showroom in Lake Jackson, Texas, if you're ordering on the phone, which you can, or ordering online, which maybe you prefer, use promo code BSR. Now, that gets you free shipping on every order. That gets you a 10% discount, whether you're getting the guitar or whether you're just ordering strings. It also gets you no sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas. In addition to that, they will make a 5% donation to the Bulldog Excellence Fund to help Mississippi State on the fields and courts of play. I wish more Mississippi State businesses followed their lead. They are clearly letting you know that we want your business. And by doing so, we're going to make sure that Mississippi State benefits from Bulldogs doing business with Bulldogs. You don't have to be a Bulldog to get the discount or to get a great instrument. And I can tell you, there's just something it does. When you pull out a new guitar, when I pulled that guitar out of the case, it makes me feel better about myself. And maybe that's a character flaw with me, but it's one of those things that I think, man, I'm so privileged to have this guitar, and I want to do this guitar justice. And it's a lot of fun to play. It truly is. And you're never too old to learn. There's a lot of tutorials online. You can go look at YouTube, and you want to play certain songs, or you just want to, you know, learn to play some chords and things of that nature. You can, you know, there's more information out there today to be a good guitarist than at any point in recorded human history. So join the Rock Soldier Army by getting a new guitar today from Kalita Guitars. That's Kalido Guitars.com. Okay. Big news in the world of rock music is Aerosmith goes on their Twitter account yesterday and says, we're back, big news coming tomorrow. Well, the big news is they have an EP coming out in November with Youngblood. And you say, well, Steve, I don't know who Youngblood is. I'm going to help you with that today. I am going to help you as part of our responsibility. The EP is going to be called One More Time. It will be released November 21st. The first single, My Only Angel, comes out Friday. Friday. So be, you know, maybe set a reminder for yourself if you're an Aerosmith or a Youngblood fan. And if you watch the MTV Video Music Awards, and I didn't know they still did that, Youngblood and Joe Perry and Steve Tyler got up and sang together. And then next thing you know, the next day, they released a bit of a teaser about this new song. And I think it's great. But I thought, you know, a lot of people will see this and wonder who Youngblood is. Now, Youngblood, of course, got some notoriety from his performance at the Ozzy Osbourne final show. He became friends with Ozzy through his daughter, Kelly. And Ozzy, in some respects, kind of served as a mentor for Youngblood, who was from England, a young man that had ADHD and all kind of problems and things like that. But he has found health and hope in rock. And so I thought we would do a top 10 today. Some of these are covers. And one of the reasons that I did is because I think when you're introducing new artists, sometimes it's good to do a cover because you're like, hey, well, I kind of like that rendition. I like that version of that. And so there's some songs that are classic rock that he's kind of made his own. And so we'll share those with you today. This is my top 10. You may see it differently, and that's okay. Youngblood, really kind of more of a rock radio guy than I would say a metal guy. I think they'll get a little bit heavier as they go. But the fact that Aerosmith was willing to come out of retirement and do some tracks with him, I think speaks volumes about his level of respectability within the rock community. So here we go. Number 10, Hello Heaven, Hello. Great track. Really dig it. Think you guys will too. Good message behind it. Number 9, Lovesick Lullaby. Not really a great message behind that one, but it's basically kind of typifies the human condition. We all at some point have been, you know, in that respect where we love somebody and maybe the love is unrequited or we can't be with them. And, you know, I dealt with that. I'm sure you have too. Number 8, ironically, in this video, Karen and Shelley Osbourne were in the video. Sharon Osbourne, pardon me. It's The Funeral. Came out a couple years ago. But it's interesting in hindsight to see that. Number 7, our first cover. It's kind of a ballad version of Disco Kiss, right? And that's the band Kiss during their disco era, Disco Kiss. My buddy Eric Carter played guitar for a band out of Mobile called Disco Kiss for a while. But it's I Was Made for Loving You, and it's the arrangement is completely different, but there are some elements of the song that are kind of true to the original. I think you'll have some fun with it, and it's very brutish, I guess you could say. You know, there's just, you know, he is lovesick for sure. Number 6, and this has been a more recent track. I think you'll have some fun with this one. It's kind of got a punk feel to it. It's Fleabag, and it's kind of a self-loathing song. I'm not huge fans of those, but I like the songs that, you know, people kind of take ownership of who they are. Number 5, and this probably should be higher. It is probably, my wife's a Halsey fan, and please don't hold that against her, but I think Halsey's very talented. Don't get me wrong. But I know that Halsey is very popular with the younger generation. I think my daughter's maybe turned her on to that. But there was a song, a collaboration. It was actually a Youngblood song featuring Halsey and Travis Barker called 11 Minutes. And I love the British alternative kind of guitar tone on this. I'm not exactly sure what the tuning is. I think they're down a step or two. But nevertheless, it's a lot of fun. And it's a song called 11 Minutes. As you got, I'm 11 minutes away, so why aren't you here? And in the chorus, he sings, you're the best I've ever had. You're the worst I've ever had. And that keeps messing with my head. He's not quite as PG-13 as me. I've been there too, right? Where you have the highest of highs and lowest of lows with people. And it does. It messes with you, man. Makes you feel crazy. It's like, why can't they just be like this all the time? And if they were like this all the time, I would just get out of the relationship. Right? There's a lot to that. Number 4, another more recent track, and they kind of promoted this with some graffiti, like around London. people were like spray painting lowlife everywhere. And again, it's kind of like Fleabag a little bit. You know, it's not to be confused with Crobot's lowlife, but it's an interesting track. Number three, another track that's a little bit maybe even obsessive. Maybe. I guess I'll leave that up for the ear of the interpretation of you. But it was very, very popular. It's I Love You, Will You Marry Me? But it's not the typical love song. You know, there's some tongue-in-cheek elements of this. There's a lot to it. And again, I think it's a song that you'll have some fun with. Number two, and again, we're not huge on covers unless we do a full cover list. But I felt because of this, like my buddy Brian Jones and I from Lillian Axe talked about this. Brian's not with Lillian anymore, but Brian is my friend. But the song changes. The old Black Sabbath song Changes. It's always kind of been that little piano a cappella type track. Well, Youngblood does it with the full band. Like it all starts out ballady and then it builds and builds. And he sang it at the final show and it rejuvenated the song. And Nuno Bettencourt from Extreme, who I have so much respect for as a guitar player. I don't know anybody that's as close to Eddie Van Halen as him, to be quite honest with you. Maybe Vi, maybe Joe Satt. But those four guys to me, I think Nuno doesn't get enough credit as a technical player. But Nuno plays the guitar on this. And Nuno has kind of had some new life through all of his work recently in celebration of Ozzy. A lot of people are like, hey, who is this guy? Yeah, it's because Nuno is phenomenal and always has been. But the song Changes, it's absolutely great with the full band. And I think Youngblood does a killer job on this track. And we're happy to share that with you. But number one, somebody that I love shared this with me, and it gives me an opportunity to, if you haven't seen the video for this song, let me encourage you to watch the video, especially if you love someone that is in healthcare or you are in healthcare yourself. The track is Zombie, and would you want me if I was a zombie? And there are so many people that work in healthcare. That is kind of how they live. You know, the schedules are grueling, and the mental demand, an emotional and even spiritual demand on our healthcare professionals is something that I don't think gets talked about enough. I mean, honest to goodness, I think it's one of those things that we look at, we just kind of take for granted. They're always there when we need us. But you know, think of the things that they have to endure to make a living. It takes a very special person to work in healthcare. And I mean that, you know, of course, Dana was a registered nurse for forever. And I remember those tears when a patient didn't make it. I remember the toll that it took on her. And then you got to get up and go back to work tomorrow with that nightmare hanging over your shoulder. Yeah, there's always that. There's not always a lot of happy endings in healthcare. And I don't know that we do enough. I mean, they're well compensated, obviously. That's the reason a lot of people go into those professions. But on top of that, imagine being an ER nurse. And my mother-in-law was an ER charge nurse for many years. And before that, she was just kind of a rank-and-file ER nurse. And she said one of the things that she liked about it is every day was different. But some days, you get a motorcycle accident. And you get a shooting. Some days, you get a rash. And then the next day, you get a sexual assault. And I can't begin to imagine how difficult it is to compartmentalize that. So people that work in healthcare, I think, are worthy of our praise. And listen, that profession gets criticized a lot. I mean, there's always something. But I think at the heart of it, there's a lot of people, the majority, overwhelming majority of people in healthcare are people that do a job that we would not want to do. And I've got a lot of respect for that, right? I work exceptionally hard. You know what? If I don't feel like writing an article today, I got a staff that can pick me up, right? And if I don't write an article today, nobody's going to die. I can take a personal day if I choose to. People in healthcare can too, but the difference is the work they do is so much more meaningful and so much more taxing on them as people. I wanted that song to be number one because, number one, when this person shared this with me, and I was like, you know what, I get it. I do. And I think the video itself kind of illustrates the day-to-day life of people that work in healthcare. And so, again, gives us a chance to salute those fine folks, but also to kind of introduce the music of Youngblood to many of you that have never listened to him. And again, he's kind of radio rock friendly. So if you're looking for Metallica, you're not going to find that. If you're looking for grunge, you're not going to find that either. It's a little different. You know, it's a little emo, I guess, in some respects. You know, maybe not so much like Bring Me the Horizon or bands like that, but it's interesting. And again, this is Youngblood is getting a lot of notoriety. There's a little heat behind him now because of the alliances that he's made with Ozzy and Aerosmith and other people. And I go back to that Halsey song. I mean, you know, I'm 11 minutes away, so why aren't you here? You know, so much of that song that I think a lot of people would identify with. But I love each and every one of you, and my hope is that you will enjoy this top 10 list and maybe give this young man's music a try. It's not for everybody. It's not. Nothing is. But if you like rock and you like radio and you enjoyed the Ozzy tribute, this may be something you're interested in. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, we love Campus Bookmart, and why? Because they have the things we want. We want more Mississippi State merchandise, and we can find so much of it at Campus Bookmart. Miss Kathy Brown does an amazing job outfitting that store with all the latest and greatest merchandise that we need, whether it be apparel, gift ideas, everything you need to detail out your fan cave. You can find it at Campus Bookmart. And I love going in there. There's just such a good vibe. Like when I go in, people are happy to see me, you know? There's not a lot of places that you get the service that you're going to get at Campus Bookmart. You know, some places you walk in, they just kind of like, hey, how you doing? Leave you alone, you know? And maybe that's what you want, but you get a cheerful, genuine greeting and goodbye when you go to Campus Bookmart. But more importantly, the reason you go in there is because you have needs that need to be met. They can be met at Campus Bookmart. Now, if you can't make it to town, but you would love to support a Starkville business, and we're always on board with that, visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. That is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75. Absolutely incomplete. That's Campus Bookmart, the home of everything that you want, Mississippi State. Somber news today. We got the news late yesterday and weren't able to confirm, but Mississippi State has to say goodbye to a legend. Linebacker Dede Lewis has passed away, and confirmed that with some teammates. And it's a sad day. Dede has been in poor health for some time. And it's one of those things, too, that I think a lot of our younger Bulldog fans don't know Dede Lewis. So years ago, and Dede would probably be okay with me telling this, but Dede used to kind of run the show at the Southern Air. And there was a time that Dede and I talked about me writing his story. And we could never really kind of come to terms on things. But those were some of the stories that I wanted to tell, you know, about him kind of being the enforcer at the Southern Air. I got millions of stories, legendary stories. And the truth of the matter is Dede didn't really want to talk about so much of that stuff. But Dede, in addition to being a great Mississippi State player, was in the National Football League from 1968 to 1981. An incredible player. Won two Super Bowls. He was a first-team All-American at Mississippi State in 67. He was a second-team All-American in 66. He was the Defensive Player of the Year in 67. He is in the Mississippi Sports Hall of Fame. He is in the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame and should probably be in the NFL Hall of Fame. He is in the College Football Hall of Fame. Played 186 NFL games. Yeah, that's a lot. In addition to Dede's work on the field, Dede became a bit of a TV commercial star. Back years ago in the 80s, after he retired, Miller Lite used to have this ad campaign called Less Filling, Tastes Great. And so the premise of these commercials was the guys in the bar would argue, but they drank it, and one side would say, because less, it's less filling. And the other one would say, tastes great. Well, Dede was a part of that and appeared in multiple commercials for them. And incredibly, even though Dede, in some respects, was kind of the face of Miller Lite, Dede eventually got clean and sober. And it's one of the things that brought us together. And it was such an honor to have the opportunity to know a man of such high caliber and character through recovery. And I got some texts. I won't read them to you, but I'll kind of paraphrase. It was one thing he told me one day that will mean everything to me in many respects. He said, I'd like to write this book. I'd like for you to help me. And the number one reason was because you're in recovery, but number two, it's because of your love for Mississippi State. And I feel very honored to have had the chance to get to know him a little bit. And, you know, being a kid growing up, you know, in the 70s, there were really only two teams you cheered for. You were either a Steeler or a Cowboy. Well, I was a Steeler, and Dede was a Cowboy. We had some good times talking about that. And he'd come up for M Club events, and I'd have the opportunity to see him. And, you know, not getting around as well lately, but, you know, it's a sad day. But the thing about it is I'm so grateful that he'd come our way. You know, he's out of Knoxville, Tennessee, and ends up being a Mississippi State Bulldog and gets drafted in the sixth round of the 1968 NFL draft. And then goes on to play for, 14 seasons with the Dallas Cowboys, who at that time were just kind of becoming America's team in the eyes of many. It's incredible to think about what Dede did with his life. He's just one of those kinds of people, man, that just being around him, he just had a presence. And you can see why he was so successful, you know, throughout his life. He's just one of those kinds of people that just, you can just tell that Dede Lewis was a winner. There really wasn't any question about that. He was absolutely a winner. He wasn't just a winner on the football field, but a winner at life. And I'm going to miss him, and I feel terrible that I haven't checked on him, you know, in the last couple of years. You kind of kept up with him through friends. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I don't know how to act. And what I mean by that is when you know somebody, kind of, it's more of an acquaintanceship than a friendship, you know what I mean? And the fact that I'm a reporter, right? I'm a journalist. I don't want ever people to think that I'm prying. Like, oh, well, he's just looking for a story. He's going to write a story that, you know, so-and-so's sick or whatever, you know. So I never know how it's going to be received. So I kind of keep up with people, you know, through mutual friends. And that was the case with Dede. But it's a sad day. I'm sure he'll be honored this weekend at the football game, and he should be. And for those of you that knew him and those of you that don't, I ask you to give Dede Lewis a cowbell send-off this Saturday of legendary proportions, just because of the fact that he represented Mississippi State really kind of through some difficult times in our football program. And Dede came to Mississippi State and became one of the most feared players in the Southeastern Conference, and again, probably one of the most feared Mississippi State students in Starkville, should you have a smart mouth. He wouldn't like me talking like that, because you know, we all make mistakes when we're young. But Dee Dee was a man's man. And I'm so grateful. He was a Mississippi State Bulldog. And I didn't love him enough to switch to the Cowboys. But the reality of it is, it made my dad really proud when his Miller Lite commercials would come on. And he goes, "Hey, look, there's a Bulldog up there." I was like, "Oh, who? That's Dee Dee Lewis." So I had to have Dad explain to me who Dee Dee Lewis was. And I've known who Dee Dee Lewis was basically, you know, throughout my life. You know, it's just one of those things you begin to kind of look at, and you look back in hindsight, and you're grateful that you shared the path, even for just a short while. I mean, to be able to say that I shook hands with the man, and he was a man. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Dee Dee Lewis was the man. And looking back here at some quotes just out there that, you know, that Bear Bryant called Dee Dee Lewis the best linebacker in the country. You know, and Vince Dooley, that 67 season, just talked about how he was terrific. You know, I mean, those legendary coaches talking about a legendary player. And he was one of ours. And it does. It makes me sad. And you know, trading text messages, you know, with, you know, former teammates and all. It's one of those things that, you know, they get it too. You know, these are people that they practiced with and played with and shed blood and tears and sweat for the maroon and white. And they're leaving us. And that's the circle of life. But I think back at the picture that David Murray used today, and, you know, it was Dave's story to write. But Dave and I were together at an M Club meeting here a couple years ago, and I guess a few years back now, and Cooks and Dee Dee Lewis were both there, and got a picture of the two of them kind of laughing and joking, and that was the perfect picture to use today, because I'm confident the first person in addition to his family members that have gone on before him that was waiting for Dee Dee was Johnny Cooks. And I think that's an important thing. I honestly don't know how people that don't have some semblance of faith make it through times like these, you know. But Dee Dee was a hero to many and one of the best players to ever wear the Mississippi State uniform, and we'll miss him. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle when you're bringing a large group to town, and you should. Stark Vegas Clubhouse. We stayed there, had a great time. We'll do it again sometime soon. Here's the deal, man. Mississippi State Campus is 6 bedrooms, 2 baths, with a full-service kitchen, a full-service wet bar, an incredible back porch area, and the fire pit area. Plenty of room for everybody to spread out. It is an exquisite place. And how many times have you said, wouldn't it be great if we could all just kind of get together and just stay together? Because it's not just those conversations over dinner that never seem to last long enough. It's all the in-between time, right? When you really get a chance to kind of get caught up and you get to really find out what's going on, right? And so I encourage you to make some memories with your friend or family group by choosing the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and when you do, their Facebook page will auto-populate. You look through all the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guest. Also, some booking options come up too. It's Airbnb, VRBO. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website. Use promo code BSR. BSR10. Beautiful Steve Robertson, the number 10. BSR10 gets you 10% off your stay. So you're getting the premium place to stay in the Golden Triangle. Just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus, you can do your tailgating right there. Save yourself a lot of time and trouble and make some memories with the people you love the most. If it's not a friend or family group, it could be a work trip too. That's a great place to stay. Instead of having everybody scattered around in 5 or 6 hotel rooms, this works pretty well for you. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. Thought we'd take a little time to look at some stats today, just kind of see how we're doing as related to our peers. The top-rated quarterback in the Southeastern Conference right now, according to QB rating, is Ty Simpson from Alabama. And last weekend's performance certainly helped in that regard. He's completing right at 72% of his passes. Your quarterback, Blake Shapen, currently seventh in quarterback rating. And that's probably the better way to assess players at this point. Of course, Blake's had a couple of picks, kind of impacted his rating just a little bit. But seventh in the conference, I think if we were told beginning of the year, yeah, Blake's going to be middle of the pack, because I think all these folks out here that, you know, basically were saying that Blake was not going to be any good, you know, one of those things you look at. Now, Fluff Bothwell is currently, as far as yardage goes, and of course, you know, he is splitting carries, 16th in the conference with 170 yards. Could have gone for 300 last week. Now, the leading rusher in the conference is Ahmad Hardy, a Mississippi boy. It's in Mississippi product, I guess, a better way to say it, from Missouri. Visit Mississippi State, didn't do it. And then Jeremiah Cobb, running back from Auburn. I don't know if anybody picked him to be doing this well this early. I'm sure, you know, Hugh Freeze did, but. It's interesting, too. We talk about a two-running-back system. Mizzou's got two running backs in the top 10. Jamal Roberts comes in right there at 8. And Dante Daltell, Mississippi product at Kentucky, got 214 yards. Of course, he had that one really big game. But what, you know, what's interesting is you look through these numbers, there's no LSU, there's no Georgia, you know, at least not near the top. Again, looking at some individual numbers, former Bulldog Mario Craver leads the SEC with 20 receptions and 443 yards and 4 touchdowns. Yeah, it's true. Number 4 on your list is Mississippi State's Brennan Thompson. Got 278 yards to his credit. And you don't have to scroll too much farther down to get to number 13, Anthony Evans. So the Bulldogs with two receivers in basically the top Baker's dozen. When it comes to these team statistics, it's always very interesting. Kind of check these things out. And again, it's still a relatively small sample size. But defensively, looking at some numbers here, you know, we're getting off the field a lot more, so we don't have as many opportunities to tackle, which is a great thing. But number 15, your Bulldogs, Isaac Smith and Nick Mitchell tied for 15th with 18 tackles on the year. Yeah, super cool, right? Yeah, it is. And so it's important to kind of look at those things. Some individual performances were somewhat impeded by the Alcorn State game because we didn't play the full, you know, too deep as we got in, you know, deeper into the game. You know, so and you don't need to. You're not trying to run up stats. You're trying to win ball games and build depth, and we did that. But kind of looking at some team leaders here, because I don't know how often you guys take time to look at all this, and that's why I'm here, right? Tennessee currently leading the SEC in scoring at 52 points a game, 52, almost 53 points a game. Getting it done, for sure. That Tennessee offense was really good last week against Georgia. Your Bulldogs are actually seventh when it comes to scoring in the SEC. And again, if I told you that beginning of the year, hey, Blake Shapen's going to be middle of the pack and your offense scoring-wise, middle of the pack, you know what, hey, I could probably take that. Yeah, and like so states ahead of like Georgia, Auburn, Oklahoma, Florida, Texas, you know, many others. Defensively, and these are the numbers that you probably need to know, Bulldogs, when it comes to scoring, fifth in the SEC. Fifth. Now, we expect that number to change as we get an SEC play. But this time last year, we were lamenting a loss to Toledo. We were already 1-2 and had a lot of questions about the defense. So we're off to a better start in that regard. Oklahoma, currently your top scoring defense at just over 5 points a game. Yeah, that'll get it done. They're gonna host Auburn this weekend. That'll be awfully interesting. That LSU defense is second. They're elite, too. I watched them play that Florida game. Went back and watched it Sunday night. Man, those guys really rallied at football. Very, very cool. Very cool. Looking at you know, some other totals here, and you know, we talk about, you know, the team numbers, you know, from a rushing standpoint. Obviously, with Missouri, with two running backs in the top 10, they're leading the SEC, rushing for over 300 yards a game. And we got to go up there. Your Bulldogs, 10th in the SEC. Probably not what you expected at this point after you've heard so much talk about the running back room is probably the most talented. Some of that, I think, is a byproduct of the fact that we're figuring some things out up front and maybe we haven't found some cohesion. LSU is actually next to last. It's so interesting. You go look, the teams behind Mississippi State in rush offense, Texas A&M, who just upset Notre Dame, Oklahoma, who's undefeated, Florida, story there, Alabama, LSU, South Carolina. You probably didn't expect that. When you're looking at defense here for rushing, LSU the best in the conference at 56. Your Bulldogs, 15th. Yeah, the only team behind us is Ole Miss. And Ole Miss giving up 195 yards a game. Now, granted, to be fair to them, they've played two SEC teams. You know, most of us have just played one, maybe two, Power 5 teams. Bulldogs giving up 140. And a lot of that, of course, came in that Arizona State game. On the passing side of things, as you'd expect, Tennessee with the Josh Heupel offense leading the SEC in passing rather significantly, about 24 yards, 23 yards more than Alabama. Ole Miss is there at third. The Bulldogs are eight. And again, if I told you middle of the year, beginning of the year, we'd be in the middle of the pack. Kentucky dead last at 16. On the pass defense side, Oklahoma, number one. They got some athletes out there for sure. Have not allowed a passing touchdown this year. They also don't have an interception. Your Bulldogs, fourth. Fourth in the SEC when it comes to pass defense. Bulldogs have four picks, have allowed three touchdowns. LSU is the only team in the league that has more interceptions than Mississippi State. Kentucky has as many. LSU has six, which leads the conference. Of course, when you get five in one game against Florida, it kind of skews the numbers a little bit in your direction. But again, small sample size, but I think you look at this and you're like, you know what, hey, you know, maybe we are getting better. I think that's clear. I mean, the overall win total reflects that. But in addition to that, too, you're kind of getting inside the numbers here. Sacks against, Tennessee's allowed one sack. Your Bulldogs have allowed four, which is eighth in the conference, the same number as Georgia. South Carolina, who has Sellers, who's arguably the best quarterback in the conference, has allowed eight. Sacks by, you know, State only had 10 the whole year last year. Your Bulldogs have four right now, which is good enough for 12th, which is just ahead of, or it's tied with Georgia, Alabama, Ole Miss, and ahead of Florida. Tennessee, next week's opponent, kind of leading the charge in that respect. We talked about interceptions already. But it's funny, Oklahoma not having any despite playing as well as they have. They just, you know, this hadn't happened for them. Ole Miss is tied with Auburn, Florida, and Texas A&M with just one interception. So interesting numbers to just kind of kick around here a little bit, you know, and begin to think about that aspect of football. And again, we'll revisit this from time to time. But I think it's pretty safe to say from a – improvement standpoint, we are trending in the right direction. We talk a little bit. I've seen our punters kind of get beat up, and I've beat them up at times too. Ninth right now when it comes to net yardage. You know, we'll see how it plays. I don't want to punt, to be honest with you. Hopefully we don't have to punt much. Didn't have to punt but once last week and got a good punt out of Ethan Pulliam. But, you know, kickoffs, we're running 10th. 63.27 yards per kickoff. We're putting the ball in the end zone. Or just sometimes people are running it out. So, yeah, again, you get a chance here to just kind of see how things are going. And a couple more things before we move on here. First downs achieved. Who would you guess? Arkansas. Arkansas has the most first downs of 87. Your Bulldogs down at 12. Now, some of that's because we score from far, right? We don't have a lot of sustained drives. We have a lot of chunk plays and big plays. Bringing up the rear is South Carolina, which is 52 first downs. First downs allowed, and maybe we need to put some respect on the name of the Oklahoma Sooners because they're looking great in every statistical category. They've allowed just 27 first downs on the year. Yeah, that's one way to help time of possession. Your Bulldogs are 10th. We've allowed 50 first downs on the year. Bringing up the rear, surprisingly, it's Tennessee. Yeah, that's very interesting considering now the rest of the metrics. And, of course, you can find any – if you mess with the data enough, you know, you kind of find something that fits you and you kind of move on from there. But, again, we'll check in maybe every once a month or so, or unless somebody does something great. And we'll just kind of check out and see how things are going. I know many of you are you're busy with your daily lives, and you depend on us to do all this research for you. And it's, even though it's only a few clicks away, a lot of times you don't think about it. So I want to wrap up with a couple things. If you hadn't done so, go to dutynoblebook.com. Been on the Mississippi Best Seller list now for a year, right at a year. It's pretty cool. Yeah, it's pretty cool. And it's been such an honor to see that book do so well for that family, you know. It really is. But go to dutynoblebook.com. You get signed copies of The Dude, of Dogpile, Flam Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, and When the Bottom Falls. And again, that's the book I probably get the most questions about or most reaction about. It's a very emotional book, obviously. And then Come Float What Is the True Rest Floats, Bob Starble, 662-268-7601, and join us over at jeanspage.com. But things, you know, I would like to say things are calming around the country. They're not. And they're not going to for a while, I don't suspect. But all that understood, in many respects, we are responsible for our own household, our own world, and kind of the vibe that we give out. And it seemed like my son said today, he goes, sometimes I wish America was more boring. And I get that aspect of it. Of course, we had a couple things that happened you know, within the state, you know, a couple of deaths that are, let's just say, suspicious in the eyes of many and require some investigations. It's kind of painted a, you know, there are a lot of people, of course, anything like that happens, they're going to paint Mississippi in a negative light. But the reality of it is we want these families to have answers. And if there has been foul play, we want these families to have justice. And no matter that aspect of it, your heart goes out to these people. These are our neighbors. You know, these are our neighbors. These are our friends. And you hate to see people suffer. And unfortunately, suffering is part of life. I wish that it wasn't, but it is. But to those families that are affected by these you know, recent tragedies within the state, man, our heart goes out to them. And I've read with great interest, too, as I am a staunch advocate for the First Amendment. But there is a lot of misinformation out there about the First Amendment. And there are a lot of people out there that, and so I'm going to do my best in the few moments we have together to kind of give you a bit of a civics lesson, because there are a lot of people that are posting online and basically handing out indictments on the American education system because they clearly did not pay attention in civics. All right? And I share that because this is what the First Amendment actually says. And I don't know if many of you have looked at this since you were in American history. But it says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people to peacefully assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. That's what the First Amendment says. And so basically, it gives you protection from government. So if we're upset about something, we can peacefully assemble. We can protest. And we don't go to jail. We have a constitutional right to protest. We don't have a constitutional right to riot and for the destruction of property. That, you know, people have kind of muddied the water a little bit with that. That is not constitutionally protected. If you go out and say, you know, I think the government is trash, right? Or you go out and air your grievances about certain political leaders. Well, that is protected. As long as you're not defaming them and there's still like some qualified immunity with all that kind of stuff. But if you're accusing him of something improper or illegal they didn't do, you could still be subject to defamation. But if you were critical of their role in government, like, say for an example, and I'm not going to pick anybody because I don't want anybody to, I'm not going to name a name. Let's just say that we had a, you know, a state senator, you know, named John J. Jefferson. Okay, let's just say that's who he was. And or John Jacob Jingle Hammerschmidt, whatever. It makes no difference. And if you were critical of his work, if you felt this person was not representing his constituency, if you felt that he was not fulfilling the obligations and duties of his office, you have every right to be critical of that and say, hey, this guy's a bum, this guy's not doing what we elected him to do, and there's nothing that they can do about that. Again, provided you don't have defamatory conduct, if you're not saying something about somebody that's untrue. But if you go out and say, hey, John Jacob Jingle Hammerschmidt is a terrible governor or president or legislator, the police aren't going to come knock on your door. Not going to happen. That is constitutionally protected. It always has been. It always should be. We have a right to redress our government, period. That understood, our First Amendment rights are not absolute. I know some people, there's a lot of experts on Facebook that'll suggest otherwise. As this week has taught us, and we should have already known, your free speech is not infringed upon if you go out there and say something that your employer deems to be offensive, if your employer deems it to be a hindrance to their business, if your employer sees this as a hurdle that prevents them from doing commerce, then they can absolutely fire you. And yes, I'm sure there's some lawyer out there that's happy to take your case and see if they can't get a quick settlement, but you really don't have any standing. I think it's kind of a slippery slope when we have political officials going out on Twitter and Facebook and saying, hey, this person should be fired and I'll pull funding. To me, I think that is an issue worth litigating, because they're acting under this individuals or whatever, they're acting under maybe threat of government. And so I think that could potentially be a constitutional rights case. But if you work, you know, for Jen's Playpen, and you go out there and you do something and all of a sudden her customers get angry and start calling and saying, hey, I don't want this lady around our kids. You know what's going to happen? You're going to get fired. And you're not going to have a leg to stand on. You're not. And I've said all week, and I didn't want to spend a lot of time on this today, but I thought we'd have a little bit of a civics lesson because of the fact there are so many people out there that think I can say whatever I want to and have no consequence. You're wrong. If you recall, several years ago now, there was a lady that made a lot of defamatory comments about my wife. They couldn't get to me. They couldn't bother me. And so this old Miss Lady just made up stories about my wife to try to embarrass my family, to try to inflame me. And they were very hurtful and they were untrue. And so one would say, well, she has the right to free speech. Well, yeah, the government didn't come arrest her for it, but we took her to civil court and we won. And so I caution you, number one, don't do or say anything stupid. No matter how impassioned you may feel about something, no matter how, quote, well-intended you may be in your commentary, I think we need to kind of avoid these emotional rantings just for the sake of engagement. And it may make you feel better, but if you look around the country, there's a lot of people that are having to pay significantly with the quality of life over, you know, a 300 character post. And you say, what's even hardly seems fair. Well, I mean, you know, when people work for you and they go out there and do things that embarrass your business, you have a decision to make. That's up to you to decide how you want to run your business. But if you don't take action, there is a chance that people will not want to do business with you. It's important to understand. But also, too, there's a lot of people out there going to get you in trouble. They are. They're going to say, oh, that's free speech. And then you're going to get fired, and you're going to think, oh, well, I'll get more money out of them anyway in the lawsuit. And you'll get some guy, you know, come defend you and, or, you know, go file a lawsuit on your behalf. And then you're going to pay a bunch of legal fees that you can't afford because you don't have a job, and you're not going to get anything from it. And that's important to understand. Again, I've cautioned against it all week. People don't listen. And, you know, it's impacted people within our state. You know, Mississippi College comes out and makes a proclamation today, I guess, a statement that they've suspended two employees for conduct that they find inappropriate. And, you know, if you go back and look at, you know, like your working agreement, that there typically are those things in there. You know, there's always some ambiguity with that. And I've seen this stuff like with, you know, college students being expelled. And, you know, of course, everybody just jumps on, you know, the latest hot take, and they just regurgitate it and they share it. I can't believe this. There is a code of conduct for students, too. There is. You know, there's policy that's in your handbook. And if you violate those, there's a chance you're going to suffer consequence. Now, you're welcome to go litigate it. But you know, those people have lawyers, too. And in a lot of cases, they have a lot of lawyers. And so I'm just trying to offer some friendly advice to people so you don't get in trouble. Because at the end of the day, I don't care who you vote for. I don't care if you don't vote at all. I just want you to have peace and tranquility in your life. I had a conversation just yesterday. And I just got done floating, so I was feeling great. And ran across somebody that was clearly having a difficult time with life. Complete stranger to me. And it was an emotional type situation with them and another person. And it wasn't like an argument between them. But something had happened. Not my business. And I made eye contact with this with one of the people. The one that was really struggling. I said, listen, I don't know you, and I'm not trying to get in your business. I don't even know what you said. I said, but I can see on your face that you're having a tough day. And I just want you to know, whatever you're dealing with, I hope that you find peace. I just hope that you find peace. And in that moment, their countenance just kind of changed. All of a sudden, the tears quit flowing. You kind of choked back a couple and said, thank you. Thank you. And then I got a hug out of it. You know, and sometimes that's all we really need in life is just somebody, whether it be some random act of kindness or somebody checking on you. You know, sometimes when you're having a tough day, you just need somebody to kind of validate your pain a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's so many times when you suffer in silence and you just wish somebody knew, wish you could talk to somebody, or why don't they recognize that I'm drowning? And sometimes we need to be that. I've just found myself in the last week being a lot kinder. And I like that version of myself. I really do. And it is an effort for me. I'll be honest with you. It really is. There's the Steve you know and the Steve you don't, right? But there is always that effort. And that's one of the things today has taught me, like service work. Sometimes that's what service work is. It's just letting somebody know it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. May not be okay tomorrow, may not be next week, but it's going to be okay. And if we begin to kind of operate and live with that in mind, that the best is truly yet to come, it makes the tougher times a little easier to deal with. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.